Greetings to you in the wonderful name of Jesus, and welcome to Fountain of Life Daily Inspirations. This is Philip Hodson, and we will be reading again today and considering again the great salvation of the Lord. We have mentioned that the Scriptures command us to not neglect, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, not to neglect such a great salvation, and we spoke of the greatness and vastness of God's salvation, and yesterday we would have spoken about that great salvation that gives us liberty to come into the presence of God, to become all that God has called us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to commune with Him, to know Him, and as we know Him, to be made like Him and change from glory to glory. Oh, what a wonderful salvation this is. But I'd also like to go on today and look at a little different aspect of this salvation. And we'll read a few different scriptures today. But the theme would be, I think we can find very well in Jude chapter 1, and which is the only chapter in Jude, in verse 24. And I will go ahead and read it, and then we will speak a little more on it. So, Jude 1, 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Consider those words. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. You know, when we think of that, to realize that there is one who is able to keep us from falling. You know, isn't that wonderful? And He says in keeping us from falling that He is able to thus present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. That we can stand before God in His very glorious presence with exceeding joy. And, you know, as John would say, you know, brethren, abide in Him, that when He appears, that you may have confidence and not be ashamed at His coming. You know, God's desire is that when He should come, when we should stand in His presence, that we could stand there boldly, as it speaks of coming boldly to the throne of grace and finding grace and help in time of need. And the Word of God says here that there is one, and it is Jesus. And He is able not just to cleanse us from our sins and forgive us so that we can go to heaven when we die, but He is able in this day and in this life to keep us from falling, to keep us from falling in sin, from keep us from living a life with Christ that is one of up and downs of a roller coaster. He is able to bring us to a place where we are rooted and grounded in Him and settled in Him, and where we do not fall. And that is an amazing aspect of this great salvation. And it says here, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. And then in keeping us from falling, this Lord Jesus, our wonderful Savior, is able to present us, you, me, faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. You know, we read those words and they almost sound impossible to us. But you know, He says of those who would be appointed to office in the body of Christ, He says that such a man must be blameless. And isn't it wonderful to know that God can do in your life and in my life that He can keep us from falling and present us faultless before the throne of His presence of His glory with exceeding joy. You know, when we think of that salvation and it speaks, and we know, hey, but by grace we're saved. And it's not our works. It's through faith, and it's not of works lest any man should boast. And we all know those words. But I want to consider what this grace of God has come into this world to do in your and mine, your life and mine. In Titus chapter 2, we can read verses 11 on to 14. But He speaks of the grace of God that has appeared unto all men. He says, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So what He's going to be speaking of is grace, and what grace does in our lives and how it brings salvation to our lives. And He says, this grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. In verse 12, He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, often men say, you know, our salvation is of grace. God isn't looking at our performance. God isn't concerned with our performance. He's, He's concerned only with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when he looks at us, he sees Jesus. And I say amen, praise God, to those that are looking at to him, that he looks on our lives and he looks on us through the blood of his Son. But he says that righteousness that we see in Jesus is not only to be something that is imputed upon our lives, but lived out in our lives. And it says that the grace of God, the grace by which we are saved, that brings our salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What that means is the grace of God teaches us to say no to our flesh, to say no to our affections and our lusts and our desires. The grace of God gives us grace and strength and power to say no and to not live like we used to live, to not be bound by our flesh, by anger, by frustration, by lust, by perversion, by immorality, and by these things. The grace of God teaches us how to say no to this old life and this old man, and rather to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Isn't this a wonderful salvation? It says in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. Jesus gave himself for us in order to redeem us from all of our sinful actions and habits, so that we might be a pure and holy people, outflowing with the works and gifts of his Spirit. This is what salvation brings to you and I. He gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify us just for himself, a peculiar people, zealous for good works, overflowing with the works of the Spirit of God in our lives. Is this not a wonderful, wonderful salvation? Oh, praise God. May we learn to say no to sin. It is in the cross, it is in the power of the blood that we are able to live victorious in our lives with Christ, that we don't have to be bound by those things that used to bind us, that we can live holy for him. The Bible actually says, and we're going to close this devotional today with Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 21 and 22. And it says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And it speaks of us, of a past life when we lived as enemies of God, when we didn't glorify and honor God, when we weren't thankful for him, when we didn't commune with him, as we were actually separated from him. And he says we were separated in our minds by wicked works. But it says in verse 22, it says, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. It says that he has reconciled us in the body of his flesh. He shed his blood. He suffered for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement that brought our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And he says, what is this that yet now he hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death? Why? To present you and me holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And the next verse says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. And, you know, this is one of the conditional promises of the Word of God. He says, this is what God wants to do in your life. This is what he began in your life. This is what the grace of God was poured out to do. This is what his blood was shed to do, so that he could present you and me holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. But that is conditional upon our continuing in the faith, believing him, taking his every word, letting his word convict us, letting his word bring us to our knees, letting his word bring us to the place of crying out and say, Lord, let it be in my life as it is in heaven. change me, make me more like you. And again, we'll be able to come into his very presence and behold his glory and be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And this is the will of God, and this is a great salvation. You know, we read in the scripture of Daniel, and it says in Daniel 6, verse 4 and 5, so the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Unless we can find something against him that relates to his devotion and his dedication to God, we'll find nothing in him. Why? Because Daniel, there could not be found fault or error or anything amiss in his life. And isn't it amazing that the Bible says that Jesus shed his blood so that we too could stand just in that way? Wouldn't it be wonderful if that could be said of your life and of my life? And isn't it wonderful that the blood of Jesus was shed to do this very thing in our lives? So may the Lord bless you today as you consider this glorious and wonderful salvation and realize there is nothing too difficult for God. What he could do in the life of another, he can do and is willing to do in your life and in mine. So may God bless you this day. Thank you.